love and I admire about the Irish people. I've studied a little bit of history since I've been here. I found out you've been underdogs for years, hundreds of years. People dominate you and ruling you, and you can identify with this freedom struggle. You understand? But I just have mine on the other side of the water, where we all are fighting for the same cause and idea, but we have different reasons and different approaches.
Bit of tension, obviously. He's trying to keep us cool, but he looks scared. He looks scared to me. Honestly, he looked frightened.
I don't know what I'm dealing with tonight. I'm fighting someone who is mechanically orientated, and that is just an unknown area. It's not fair that I should be put into a situation.
Go on your way, Mary Robinson, motherfucker to you. I got Stoochie Red for a jab with Katie Taylor.
When I first started, I was walking through, and I didn't care if King Kong was in the ring because I felt invincible. I felt like a total big war. That's how you should be feeling.
Hello and welcome to the latest Four Thumps Irish Boxing Podcast with me, your host Kevin Byrne from the Irish Sun. And joining me today is Irish boxing legend, five-time senior champion, Eric Donovan.
How are you, Kevin? Looking forward to a nice treat in store, guys. Katie Taylor, five times world champion. What an athlete. What a boxer. We'll elaborate a little bit more on that in due course.
Yeah, it was a stunning achievement. What can you say about five world titles, Eric? You know exactly how hard it is to win a major medal. Your own triumph was a European bronze medal at Moscow in 2010. Hard won, and an achievement that will stay with you for life. Can you sum up what it could possibly mean to do 17 goals?
Absolutely. I'll try to put it into context. Like, you know, it took me, basically all my boxing career to win one major senior medal, and that was a European bronze in 2010. But from the time I went into full-time training with the high-performance team, that was in 2003. It took me 7 years to Moscow 2010 to get that medal. There was even times during my career where I did think and I did ponder on would I ever win a European or would I ever win a major medal, you know. But thankfully for me, I did win one, and it's one of the highlights of my career. But just now, to put into context, that Katie Taylor over the past decade has won every major championship she's been in. 17 gold medals.
We have somebody here with us. He's one of the reasons behind Katie Taylor's success, and indeed the success of the Irish boxing team over the past decade. Zauri Anti, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Yes.
How are you, Zor? Tell us a little bit about Katie's success. How did she manage to win her fifth gold medal?
Katie was amazing and fantastic, in good shape. Mm-hmm. She was trained very well, and in this time it was in very good form. She was the best, and you can predict that she's going to win this championship. And she did every fight. She dealt very well. She won all fights very well. And the last fight in the final, she did amazing in contest. He did very, very good work, which was more emotional than physical. He did very good work. He did the counter-attack fight that day, and it was fantastic contest.
Zor, of the four victories Katie picked up over in Korea, which did you think was her most complete performance again, in which fight?
Every fight was correctly planned by our team. But the last fight, the final fight, was the most difficult because the opponent was Azerbaijan, but the girl was from Russia. It was very similar to the Sofia Ochigawa, Sopa as well, and was similar. fighter like that girl which met Katie in the final Olympic Games in London.
And for how long did you have to plan tactics before that final battle against the Southpaw? I know you'll have watched some of this girl's fights in preliminary bouts and stuff.
Yeah, by the competition, this girl won every fight as well, and already when time come after semi-final, we sit together, and the tailors and my opinion exactly was same, so how to fight with this girl, and Katie implemented very well.
Zor, I know most or probably every boxer who works with you kind of speaks about how much of a privilege it is to work with such a great coach. I was wondering, do you feel the same about working with boxers such as Katie, such an elite athlete and Ireland's most successful? Are you privileged to, do you feel privileged to work with such a boxer yourself?
Of course. I'm very happy to work with them when they listen very well. We have good relationship. We understand each other. And they are happy when we're working together. And that's the most important, as you know. Good relationship is a pathway of successful. If there is not a good relationship, understanding the atmosphere between the boxers and coaches, there is no business works then, you know. But this is what is the most important. We have good relationship, good atmosphere work, and listen to each other, and very happy. Most important, this is we have with each other, and that's what works very well, Eric.
Zor. Looking at the female boxing over the past number of years, I've noticed that, you know, it's developing and it's enhancing and the standard is just rising all the time. With the Olympic Games 2 years away, who do you think is the biggest rival out there, apart from Ochigava, for Katie?
Boxing grows rapidly. Now you can see the many boxers, female boxers, getting the much.
And many southpaws too, I see.
Many southpaws, yes. The Chinese team is very strong, getting all teams, you know, boxing, everywhere is a boxing booming now, and it grows with the technical, tactical skills. There's a Indian city as well, and we always standing in front of a challenge. We have to improve and all the time be in a the best ready to work and develop ourselves. Mm-hmm. All the time is very important. Nobody, if you know work and not to try develop, everybody will pass you then, and that's why this is very important. Boxers are getting better. Next competition in the world championships will be more difficult, and we know this, and we have to act as well, make more training, more planning training, and think about future.
So how difficult is it for a boxer to remain on top of their game for over a decade like Katie Taylor? Like, if you look at Rigan Doe and Miguel Kinderland, the Cuban, great Cubans, these guys, they didn't succeed for such a long time as the same length as Katie Taylor, dominating for over 10 years. Tell us about that. How does she do it?
Katie is... training, he trains all the time. He's training, and all this process is in harmony. She knows when train, she knows when rest, and she has good regime and good lifestyle, and they constantly all the time improve her mindset, and works hard, and that's why everybody, big boxers, big sportsmen, everybody working correctly, and that's what makes them development and the achievements. This is Rigan Doe, what you mentioned names, they are universal boxers, and you can see when you're watching them, they are all the time in the top, because mm-hmm. they never stay behind, you know. Mm-hmm. Perfection has no limit, as you know. This is always there is problem, and you have to sort it out. If you ever think you know everything now today, you will stop your development. You always try to become better. No matter how good you are today, you can be tomorrow better, as you know. And that's drive. That is the most important to make sportsmen more achievements in the future.
Erica, something Zora said there is something I want to take you up on. I've heard him speak about it before, and I think you've touched on it as well. The Universal Boxer. Can you tell us what is the Universal Boxer and which models in Ireland would kind of be closest?
In particular, I suppose John Genevan would have been a counter-puncher, middle-distance boxer, but he can also fight when he needs to. Michael Conlon can also fight going forward, and he can fight on the back foot. Paddy Barnes would be kind of a one-dimensional... he would be a fighter. He'd be going forward all the time, in the pocket, high defence. But someone like... probably Michael Conlon. I'm sure Michael Conlon would be close to Universal Zor. Maybe Katie Taylor close to Universal Boxer as well, when you speak about the three distances, close distance, middle distance and far distance. Would you agree?
Of course. Michael Conlon is the most Universal Boxer in the health of the male boxers. He can close, he can fight in close, middle and long distance, and he can fight in super as well. And Michael Conlon is Katie Taylor is the Universal Boxer who can fight in any distances. That's why when you know boxer has big arsenal and good motor skills and knows three distances fight, then you can plan A, plan B, plan C, and then you can put against your opponent. Okay, many big choices you have then. But if you have boxer who limited only one style, then you can limit the problem. But that's one style, as you mentioned there. For example, Paddy Barnes is a good fighter, a good middle and close distance fighter, Paddy, usually. And he's excellent on there. For example, Rigondo. Rigondo is a player boxer, you know. Rigondo is a long distance fighter, but he's the best there. I mean, no one can beat him. He's not a close fighter or middle distance fighter because he's the best is the skill what he has. The weapon is by best physical qualities, as you know. He's very strong.
He's a master.
Yeah, master and physically strong, Eric, you know. If people try to get close to him, his punches will remain them back. He's so strong punch he has. You understand?
Yeah, and John... Punch, absolutely, you know? And John Genevan had the same power as well. Some people, when they look... at John Genevan and Rigondo, and they may think, okay, I'm going to go forward and I'm going to bulldoze them and I'm going to bully them and get them in the corner, get them on the ropes. But it's the power that they have in the hands that stopped the people from coming in. You're right.
Of course. Yeah. John Genevan is a fantastic boxer, the most talent boxer, which is was the best counter-attack boxer, you know. John Genevan's fight always... 60-70% counter attack and 30-40% attack. It was all the time successful, and he was an amazing boxer. He's a very, very strong talent boxer, yes, as you said. Yeah.
Zor, we know you're doing marvelous work over here since you came over with the boxers. People can't speak highly enough of you. I'm just wondering, how are you settling in? You're here 11 years now. How are you settling in? How is your family? How is your children? How are you adapting to life in Ireland?
Everything okay. I'm very happy. Family. See, yesterday I came from Korea, and after 4 weeks travel, and I'm very happy. This result, when you come back, it is most happy than you feel yourself, as you know. Everything we work, our work, we working together. With all high performance team, everybody works in harmony, and everybody tries to improve on. Own mastering on the own mindset, as you know, and our work. When I came in Ireland, I had big relationships with Soviet Union teams, for example, Russia, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, and etc. All those strongest countries today, and that's what I did. I connect them to Ireland, and we had the training camp with the best teams, which is you know, deal with experience and. That makes, you know, you have to train with stronger than you, as you know, Eric, to become stronger. If you train with weak than you, that's you benefit him. But he not benefits you, you know. That's why the good work, you know, high level training camps with high level teams, that's what makes us become stronger. And that's why today we are, Irish boxing is very high. That's what I want to say.
So, how optimistic are you in the run-up to Rio 2016? Bearing in mind Katie's continued success and the development of the ladies' team, but also the disappointment I'm sure you'll have felt to see the defections to the professional game. of boxers such as John Evan, Jason Quigley, Tommy McCarthy, and there's numerous others as well. Do you feel this kind of diminishes the strength of the team and the medal chances ahead of the Rio Games?
We have a big challenge ahead, and we always had this challenge ahead, and always good work, correct work, and this challenge always bring us in the medal table. And we have confidence today. We're thinking about this. I know this is a more difficult now time coming for us, but we're working, and we're not afraid to work, and we know that thing. Hard work will make a future result. And of course, Jason Quigley, John Junior, and all those boxers who left us, that was difficult for us. But those boys did good for Ireland, and whatever they decide go, they deserve it, and they did good. They raised Irish flag and Ireland, and everybody, the coaches, always will be happy with them. And God bless them, and I want to wish them a big future, a professional career, the future. But we have good boxers today. We're working very well, and we hope everything will be okay.
Well, I guess part of the reason why these are such successful boxers as well as their club coaches is they have had the benefit of working alongside yourself. So we look forward to seeing the next crop of universal boxers in the next 18 months or 2 years.
Of course, club coaches work is the most important work. They are in place, and those work is always is remarkable. I'm respecting all those boxers, coaches who started their work, who grow them. They are number one coaches, and I always respect them, and everybody should respect them, because they are those like parents, you know. They work with them from childhood, and they are those psychologists, and they are those like parents.
Zor, I want to thank you for taking the time out to talk to us on Four Tumps Irish Boxing Podcast. I know you respect the boxers, I know you respect the clubs and the club coaches, and you give a lot of credit to them. But there's no doubt, Zor, that you have contributed to the success of the Irish boxing over the past decade, and we want to thank you and respect you. So I just want to say thank you for that on behalf of Four Tumps and as a former Irish boxer myself.
Thanks very much, Eric. Thank you. Thank everybody. And I one more time want to congratulate you this, and all Ireland for Katie's achievement, which is really become as a legend makes everybody happy.
Thank you, Zor. Take care. God bless, Zor.
Thank you, Zor. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
40 seconds away, Tyson Fury. For potentially a massive moment, the moment of his life so far.
Smart strategy by Tyson Fury, pinning him in the corner and making sure that no punches can be landed there by Cesaro.
Fury finishing as the aggressor here. Cesaro responds, risky from Fury. 10 seconds to go. And it's going to go to the judges' scorecards here. Fury finishing with that blow, and the crowd rises to two warriors here. Is it going to be Fury's night? Here we go.
After 12 hard-fought rounds, we go to the scorecards. Judge Lewis has it, 117-112. Judge Edwards has it, 117-112. And Judge Richie Davis has it, 118-111. For the new British and Carl Heavyweight Champion,
it is Tyson Fury's night!
Joining us today on the Four Tumps Irish Boxing Podcast is the one and only heavyweight sensation, Tyson Fury. Tyson, we're delighted to have you on the phone. You're talking to me, Kevin Byrne from the Irish Sun, and my colleague, Eric Donovan, Irish boxer. Welcome.
Yeah. Thanks very much for having me. Pleasure.
Absolutely. Tyson, you've got a massive fight against Derek Chisora coming up on Saturday night, a rematch.
Yeah.
How's the body? How are you feeling?
Feeling good. Feeling fit, feeling ready. I've trained hard for this fight. Finally happened, you know, it's been a long time coming, but it's here now, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's been a tough year, Tyson. I understand you've had some family bereavements, and as well as your own career taking a hit with kind of cancel fights against David Haye and Derek Chisora as well. Can you sum up, is this fight kind of weighing on you emotionally, or is it going to be a nice release to get it done, to finally get back in the ring?
No, I'm just happy to get back in the ring. You know, it's not an emotional thing, it's a business move. I've had a bad year basically, but you know, what doesn't sink the ship keeps it strong and keeps it going forward. You know, I just got to focus on Derek Chisora and nobody else, and get this fight won, get him beat, get him set about like before. Nothing new there. I'm a boxer, that's what I do for a living, that's what I've done all my life, so I'm just going to go in there and fight.
And what sort of physical shape are you in for this fight? Are you planning to come in with a bit heavy, you know, to kind of, you know, for all the benefits that will bring, or are you going to be as athletic as we've seen at Tyson Fury?
No, I'm only about 18 and a half stone. I've been that for my last two or three fights, whatever happened, whatever. Feeling good at that weight, not too light, not too heavy. Good, I can move with that weight, and I feel strong and powerful as well, so that weight I should weigh in there or thereabouts anyway, so that's me waiting for the fight.
Tyson, how are you doing? Eric Donovan here.
How you doing, Eric?
Yeah, good, mate. You know, people don't realise you're actually on a train now taking this phone call, and you're on your way to the gym. This is it's kind of the side of the boxing that people don't see, the dedication and the hard work that goes into it. I'm just wondering, what is it like for you? Is it humbling for you to be on this train journey? I know you do it day after day, but tell us about it. What's going through your head when you're on the train and you're on your way to the gym and you know you have a big fight coming up?
You know, it's now all the training's done. It's easy mode now. I believe all the hard work's done in the gym behind the scenes, like you just said, Eric. Mm-hmm. The stuff that people don't see. When people think of boxers, they think of the glory, the glitz and the glamour, the big nights at the boxing fights and all that. And it happens a long, long time before that. Before you even get in that ring, all the hard work's already done. So now, I sit back, relax and enjoy and just go with the flow, really, because I know all the hard work's been put in. The only time to worry is if you've cheated or cut corners. And I never, anyway, so now's the time to relax and enjoy what I've done. Sit back, relax. I believe the fight's only 10% to show. All the hard work's been done, so like I said, just enjoy it. And go in there, not wish your life away, not wish it to be over. Take every moment and enjoy it, because, you know, it's a short career, boxing, and love the moment of it.
It's amazing, you know, I have great admiration for you because you channel the energy that you have. You always channel it into something positive. And I was watching you on the late, there, I think it was last year, maybe the year before, but you're talking about your dreams of becoming the first Irish heavyweight champion of the world and representing Ireland and possibly even one day boxing in Croke Park. Do you still have those dreams and aspirations?
I do, you know. It's been a lifetime dream of mine to become the first Irish heavyweight champion of the world in a long, long time. And John O'Sullivan. Mm-hmm. It's been very far and few between, because there's not many Irish heavyweights out there. Not many as vocal as me, and not many that can go on the world of heavyweight boxing. But here I am, I've arrived, and it's finally good to see that the Irish people are getting behind me, because I had a lot of stuff with the Olympic Games and all that sort of stuff that never went right for me and whatever. Mm-hmm. And come back and won the Irish had a few fights. So, but like you said, it's a time dream of mine to bring the heavyweight championship to Croke Park.
You certainly have won them over, Tyson. And it's just, you know, it's been a cold and frosty day here today in Ireland. And I was just wondering, are you feeling in the mood of giving us another rendition of maybe a bit of Elvis or one of your favourite classics?
You know, Eric, I'd love to, but I'm on the train. I'm sat in the seat, and there's about 200 people all looking at me anyway.
I think they so could do it. I think you could lift their spirits too, Tyson. You have that aura about you. You're able to lift people's spirits.
I will sing. Can't sing, but will sing. Drop an app. That's the type of character I am. So hopefully after the fight, I'll come back on your show and give you all a song as well.
Oh, brilliant, man.
Looking forward to it, Tyson.
That'll do, no problem.
Can you tell us what sort of a challenge you're expecting to face from Chisora? Has he improved in the years since you fought for the first time?
You know, I believe I beat the best of Chisora that night, all them years ago, 3 years ago. He was undefeated, he was a champion, he'd never been before, so that's that's kind of a thing in professional boxing. But, you know, he made excuses, said he was overweight, and for whatever reason he didn't turn up in shape or whatever. So this time he's trained, there's no excuses, he's trained his guts out, he's supposed to be light, and he's supposed to be had all the sparring and whatever, so it'll make it even more sweet for me when I beat him this time, because he can't make any excuses. He's had a few losses on his record now, he's been knocked out before, so it should be an easier fight. You know yourself, if you beat someone comfortable the first time round, the second fight you've already like 50% got him mentally anyway, because you've already got the victory over him. And you know, I've trained hard, he's trained hard, they say he's improved, I've improved, so it should be, if we both improved and we both got better, then it should be the same outcome. I can't see anything other than either Derek Chisora getting knocked out cleanly, or a points victory if he decides he doesn't want to fight proper.
Tyson, one thing I've been impressed with whenever I've attended your fights is sometimes when you do get hit clean and you do get knocked down, is your ability then to kind of get the fight ended very quickly. We've seen it against, I think, Pajic and the guy before him, his name escapes me, the American guy, you fought him in Belfast.
Yeah.
And also even Steve Cunningham, you know, whenever you did hit the floor, within a round or two afterwards, this kind of different animal came out in you, and the fight was over very quickly. We saw this really aggressive version. Do you think we'll see some of that on Saturday night?
Depends if I get caught up in the red mist or not. You know, if Derek Chisora hits me with a good shot and I feel like I'm gone, then it's him or me.
You there, Tyson? I think we've lost Tyson Fury, probably going through a tunnel or something on the train. But yeah, fantastic to have such a guest on, Eric.
Yeah, and he did say, like, as well, that he was on a train journey and he was on his way to the gym, and he said, you know, I might lose signal. So we're actually lucky to get him for the length of time that we did get him. And, you know, he never disappoints. He always delivers. He's a great guy. He's a great charismatic guy.
And he didn't sing for you, Eric.
He didn't sing for me, but he did make a promise. He did say that when he beats Derek Chisora, that he'll come back and he'll sing for four thumps. So I'll hold him to that.
You were singing before we came on the studio. You're giving us a bit of your John Delaney special. Looking to get a few lines of you at the end, maybe.
I'm a great singer. I sing so low you can't hear me, Kevin.
Brilliant. Well, we're looking forward to the Bad Blood Show. Stevie Collins Jr. from the Celtic Warriors gym, where we were privileged to be last week. Stevie Collins Jr. is fighting on the show. It's his comeback after a serious shoulder injury, so we wish Stevie all the best. And the big fight that we're looking forward to watching from that show is Billy Joe Saunders against Chris Eubank Jr. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's probably one that I didn't foresee coming, especially this early in the game. I tell you, it's hotting up. The two guys, very, very talented boxers in their own right. Billy Joe Saunders has probably boxed better opposition than Eubank Jr. But Eubank Jr. I think he makes up for it in all the other areas of the game, with his confidence and his aura and his ability. His confidence is just oozing out of him, and he has power. He really has power in both hands.
Eubank has power
in both hands. But, like, you know, Billy Joe Saunders is one of the toughest boxers out there. I've never seen Billy Joe Saunders take a step back either in the ring, you know.
No. He'll relish the challenge of a come forward boxer as well. He'll be up for not just proving that he's not going to be on the run in this fight as well. I think he's going to stand there and trade with him as well. So,
of course,
it could be a dangerous mindset for Saunders to take as well, because if he's not quite as powerful a puncher as Eubank, which remains to be seen, if there is the temptation to say, I can do everything you can do, I can do what I do, and with anything you can bring, I'll do that as well. And that's the way you see a lot of top boxers get caught.
Yes, absolutely. You know, Billy Joe Saunders, he comes from a tough, very, very tough fighting family, tough background. But I do get the feeling that he's probably more eager to get this fight on than Eubank Jr. And therefore, he might be, you know, I'm not too sure, but he's a great boxer. When he boxes, he's a great boxer. I watched him in the amateurs as well. I watched him in the European Union Championships. I watched him winning a gold medal over there. He's a great boxing brain. He can fight, but he can also box. But I just have a feeling that he's chomping at the bit to get to Eubank Jr. I think Eubank Jr. is probably a little bit more controlled, a little bit more collected maybe at this moment. And, you know, if Billy Joe does throw the kitchen sink and, you know, lose the game plan or whatever, it could be the repercussions could be serious, because Eubank Jr. does pack a punch in his right and left hand, and he throws them from unpredictable angles. You know, he throws them from his hips almost like his father, and he really does put everything into them. He puts his shoulder, hip, everything into those shots. So Billy Joe, he'd want to be careful. But I was talking to my own father on the phone this morning, and he has a double for the weekend, Tyson Fury and Chris Eubank Jr. double. Oh, so he does.
I was going to ask, are you a betting man? Because I've got a double as well, and myself and your father at odds. I've got the Gypsy Kings.
Have you?
Billy Joe Saunders and Tyson Fury. Yeah. They're in a race for the first Gypsy World Champion. But I've got them back to do the goods this weekend. Yeah, I put it out on Twitter on the Four Tumps, at Four Tumps Irish Boxing account. And some of the responses I got were kind of in my corner. So we had likes of Rob Brennan, Richie McIntyre, and COHCFC, Colm, I don't know your surname. But yeah, they were all saying Fury and Saunders.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Fury anyway, and I probably would lean more towards Saunders simply because he's boxed better opposition. I've watched Eubank Jr. and look, I'm a fan. I'm a boxing fan in general anyway, but I like his style, you know. Probably don't like his attitude as much, like, but look, I know it's part and parcel of boxing, like, and boxing doesn't get enough promotion or enough publicity that boxers have to go above and beyond the call of duty to promote themselves and sell tickets. So I respect them for that. But I do, you know, I accept that his opposition, Eubank Jr.'s opposition this far, has not been as strong as Billy Joe Saunders' opposition, and therefore he looked really comfortable in taking out lads, but he's taken them out with style. But this is going to be a big test for him. I'm curious to see what kind of Eubank Jr. we'll see when he starts to get caught with a few punches on a regular basis. And you know, I suppose time will tell.
His trainer will be there to help him. His trainer Ronnie Davis is there to apply Vaseline, nothing else.
Is that what he again, you know, he's doing a good job of motivating himself, you know, and that's what he does. It works for him, you know. And
what would your trainer say if you said, hey Dom, you know, put on the Vaseline and keep the direction to yourself?
Dom used to have a great way of motivating me. He'd, you know, I'd be sitting in the back of the car on the way to a boxing show all through my career, you know, whether we could be going down the country. We travelled the length and breadth of the country anyway during my career. Many, many amateur fights, well over 200 amateur fights. He used to say, "You're going to be killed, Donovan." That's what he said to me. "You're going to be killed." And I tried to convince him, I won't, you know, and that was just a great way of stirring up my emotions and getting me psyched up for
That's
it.
That's
like,
not what
you know.
You'd want to hear before.
I know, but that,
here, you're a wrecking ball.
People have different, I suppose, different strokes for different folks, but Dom is unique in his own sense. He had a different way with all the with all of his boxers. He was a great man manager for that kind of stuff. But no, back to the Billy Joe Saunders and Chris Eubank Jr. It's definitely exciting up, and it's one that the boxing public are really, really looking forward to. It's a great card. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Frankie Gavin, Skeet, it's
a good fight as well.
That's you know, and Frankie, you know, is it make or break for him? Is it too early to say that? Is it, you know, but he's world champion, world amateur champion, England's own only world amateur champion, and it's too early to say it's make or break for him. I don't know. He's operating now with the welterweight division. He's lost his last fight, so it's certainly not going to do him any favours if he doesn't pull this one off against Skeet. He needs to.
No, it'll be a big backward step. I don't imagine he will lose this one. He fought well. He was very courageous in his last fight against Leonard Bundu. I'd imagine we'll see a decent version of Frankie Gavin again this weekend.
Yeah, it's time for him to redeem himself. Look, it's boxing. Anything can happen. I like Frankie. I think he's one of the most stylish boxers out there. Especially in, you know, watching him as an amateur. He won the Euro. He actually beat Domenico Valentino in the final of the amateur the World Championships in Chicago 2007. And Valentino beat me in the last 16 of that championships. Mm. And you know, so I was there. I was in that weight category. But you know, he jumped up the weights. We all know he was lightweight at that time, and everyone knows he missed out on the Olympic Games, which is probably one of the I was so surprised when I heard of it. Like, it's not something, one of those rare things. You miss the Olympic Games, you qualify in pole position for Olympic Games, the number one spot, so you're already favoured to win the gold medal at the Olympic Games. This is Beijing, and you know, he had to pull out of the Olympics because he couldn't make the weight.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's
Very unprofessional.
As Britain's first world champion, he would have been extremely favoured. And at the time, like, bear in mind, Britain, they've won a lot of gold medals since, between like Luke Campbell and Anthony Joshua and James De Gale and a few others. Mm-hmm. But before that, they were crying out for medalists, just as we were in 2008 as well. So for him not to make the weight then, he's fun time Frankie is over, and it's all about the hard work now.
It is.
I want to go, like you mentioned, that Domenico Valentino. I want to move on to APB with two Irish representatives this week again, or last Friday again. Joe Ward was successful against Uzbekistan's Oybek Mamazulunov.
Yeah, something like that, Kevin.
I'm pretty close. Getting better every week. And David Oliver Joyce beat Italy's Domenico Valentino at lightweight. So that's a good win for the two lads.
It's a good win for both of them, you know, because they didn't get off to the best of starts. You know, they were hoping to maybe get the ball rolling with a win the opening contest of the APB, but the two of them came up short against the Russian and Kazakhstan boxers. But they've redeemed themselves. Davey Oliver getting a win over Valentino, a five-time world amateur medalist. Like, you know, he's a great boxer, Valentino, former world champion as well, 2009 in Milan. So for Davey to beat him, and Davey kind of has his number now, you know, the last couple of times they've met, Davey has come out on top. So he's kind of got the measure of Valentino now, and it'll, I suppose, boost Davey's confidence now, put him back in the running and back in the contention for qualification for Rio Olympic Games. And of course for Joe Ward also, getting that win puts him right back up there. It's the APB, you know, you can't be losing too many fights, because it goes on a point scoring system at the end of the
losing that first fight is going to be still tricky for them qualifying for the Olympics through the initial tournament. Well, but there is next year.
Yeah, absolutely, but winning the second ones, I suppose, has given them newfound hope.
I want to, is Bellew cleverly even worth talking about, in your opinion? Did you enjoy the fight?
No, I didn't enjoy the fight. Enjoyed some of the undercard, all right. But, you know, I always said it, my own personal belief that was that it shouldn't have been pay-per-view. And I think it was very sad and very harsh on the fans that it was pay-per-view, because I think the fans have been very good to Matchroom Sport and very good to followers of the boxing in general. So I think to put a non-title fight on the line as a pay-per-view event just wasn't a good decision. And to be honest with you, I think the fight itself, it didn't deliver on any accounts, you know what I mean? I thought from Nathan Cleverley's, from his perspective, he's a former world champion. He didn't perform like a former world champion. I thought he injured his right hand. I thought it was broke or sprained, but it wasn't. He was just jabbing for half of the fight and lying on the ropes and stuff like that, and Tony Bellew kind of just was, you know, marching forward, throwing his punches and stuff like that. So it just didn't deliver for me. And I thought that the response from the general public on Twitter and Facebook as well, I think they agree with me. There were a lot of unhappy.
One of the things
fans.
I was disappointed not to get to touch on with Tyson Fury was Anthony Joshua's latest victory. Now, Sprott was no challenge to Anthony Joshua at this stage of his career, but it is a mega fight between Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua in the future. So it's a pity we did, but next time Tyson's on with us for a sing-song, he can maybe discuss that potential. It's a Wembley Stadium job, I think, for sure.
He's in some shape. He just looks like one of those action figure dolls, doesn't he? That's just chiselled out, like, you know what I mean, with a fine chisel and a blade or something. But what an athlete as well. He's speed, he has power, he has movement. Incredible.
Closer to home, there was action up in Belfast as ambitious promoter Mark Dunlop brought another card, this one entitled Back to the Future, to Belfast. It showcased Dee Walsh, who won the Irish light middleweight title with a stoppage win against Terry Mann. There was also victories for James Fryers, a comeback kid Ryan Burnett, Paul Hyland Jr., Jared Healy, Michael McKinson, Darren Cruz, Paddy Gallagher, and Portuguese import Julius Caesar.